All right, welcome to, I believe, this is episode 71 of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. I think we've crossed the 70 threshold, Mr. Bat.
That's nice.
How do you feel about that?
It does feel awesome, and it kind of feels really good today because when I think about it, we haven't had this classic situation, us talking over a Skype call for quite some time now. We had the recordings in the studio, and we had you doing a lot of solo episodes.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Like, first off, I want to say right at the top, happy birthday, Mr. Bat. You just had a birthday, and unfortunately, I wasn't there to celebrate it with you. But we also know that you were out sick. So tell us about the good stuff. Tell us about your birthday.
My birthday was pretty cool. I felt super good about it, and I don't make my birthdays too special normally, but regarding that, I was pretty ill the days before, and I was perfectly like back on track, fit again the morning of my birthday, which was an awesome feeling. Like, I woke up, it's my birthday, and I'm feeling healthy again.
That's and so awesome.
So that made my day already. And yeah, I had it pretty relaxed, some drinks, good foods, a lot of phone calls,
from friends and family.
Yeah, just what you would expect of a birthday in COVID times. But it was cool. I really, really liked it, and heard from so many sweet people. And yeah.
So now you're 23, 22, 23.
Yes.
Oh, man, you're Michael Jordan's number now. This is your year to soar.
Finally.
Man. This is your year to soar. I loved being 23. 23 was one of my absolute, like 22 through 24 were some of my absolute favorite years. You know, it's just, that's like the perfect college age. You're totally independent from your parents, you know, as much as you want to be. And you have like your friend groups established. You're usually like in a relationship or like, you know, going in between different more important relationships. Usually you have either a job that's leading towards a career, or you have like a day job to support a passion, but it's also still kind of cool. And like, I don't know. I just remember I was like 23. I was working at this great cafe in New Orleans. I think I had just started dating Ify. I was going to go on my first European vacation. Like, we went in the summer of 2013 and saw like all of Central Europe together. And that was, yeah, a super exciting time. I remember that year specifically just because I think it's the first year that Ify and I had transitioned out of friendship into like a real relationship. And then, you know, you can almost always remember spring and summer in New Orleans by certain crawfish-based events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember spring of 13, like eating like 11 pounds of crawfish on her front porch together. Man,
that's strong.
That was a lot, man. It was really great. And I apologize that I didn't initially call you right up front and tell you I was a bad friend, man.
Yeah, but I don't know hard feelings there. I also tend to forget so many birthdays and then call the people the day after or even a week after when I remember or someone tells me.
Dude, I realized like the only use I have anymore for Facebook is for birthdays, but I don't have the notification. Something's up. Either my account is like an old password or something, or I don't have the notifications on my phone. But I used to every day get like a notification, like a text that would say like, you know, Moritz Batschider has a birthday today. But I don't get those anymore. I have to go onto the app and scroll through, I don't know, 13 completely useless notifications to find whose birthday it is. And I just can't. First off, I don't really want to do that every day. And I just couldn't, sure. You know, I wouldn't remember to anyway. It's not like I don't go through any specific app looking for a specific thing anyway, you know, but I remember, like just yesterday I was talking to the ghost, Mr. Boysen, and
our drummer.
Our drummer, yeah. And I felt even worse about that because your birthday, I was writing you about work. And you were kind of nice to say like, maybe we can take a look at that tomorrow because it's my birthday and I'm going to take off the rest of the day. And I felt so bad. And then yesterday I called Mark and we were talking about a bunch of different stuff. And then he mentioned something. It's like some event in his story took place the day before his birthday. And he's like, yeah, you know, they called me like the day before my birthday. It was like March 31st. And I was like, wait, you just had a birthday in March? I was like, I didn't know.
Damn.
Yeah, I felt really bad about that. 45.
Oh.
45, man. He really could be your dad.
Yeah, still, yeah.
That's just so wild.
That's true. But yeah, but I totally feel that struggle. That's why I try to, I don't know where that does come from, but since a few years, I try to do it kind of like I know it from my dad, and that is like really kind of quotation marks correctly save my contacts on my phone, like with their full real name, if I have it, their address, their plus their email address and their birthday, and then my phone automatically sends me a calendar message
that it's their birthday.
That it's their birthday, and that works out pretty good. But obviously, you don't have that with everyone because you don't. When you meet new people, you don't ask them, "Hey, what's your birthday?" Because I need to set it up here right now.
Yeah, that's actually a really practical. That seems like a very dad idea, like a very practical idea to do that.
But that's something I stick to, and I I don't know. It feels better. I was over the point where I was, I don't know, saving people with like their nicknames or something, and with 18 or something, I just thought like, no, it's more practical.
Yeah.
And it is a dead thing, but it really helps me like against issues like forgetting good friends' birthdays.
Dude, I just saw, speaking of birthdays, I just wanted to be sure I was right, but July 10th will be Artsy's third birthday.
That's crazy.
That's pretty crazy, man. July 10.
We'll be going to kindergarten.
Is it already 3 years old that you go into a kindergarten? Or is it like a daycare thing?
Yeah, probably. I believe many kindergartens. That's the point of this episode where my mom will text me about it. But as far as I know it, many kindergartens have these kind of daycare programs that slowly like evolve into the regular kindergarten program. Like you can start your kids in the daycare program with 3 and they stay there, and the year after or whenever they're ready, they'll move on to the next group, kind of like.
Okay. Did you ever have to take a CPR course for any job?
What's CPR?
I guess you call it something different in Germany, but it's resuscitation, like if someone passed out and you have to give chest compressions and blow oxygen into the lungs.
Mm-hmm. Like a first aid certificate.
That's it. Did you ever have to, first off, take a course for it for any reason? Or did you, I guess for driving, you had to take a course?
I didn't take the one for driving because I was part of the voluntary firefighters in Oberstdorf, and there in the you automatically had to do like those big like first aid programs, like I don't know, double the time and going way deeper than the one you do for driving. And because I got that certificate, I didn't have to do one for my driver's license. But since then, I haven't done one. That's crazy. No, and I didn't have. How did you get to that? Because I never did a job where I had to show that or to bring that.
I don't really know why it just came to mind just now. But I guess I thought about like, I just thought about kids. Then I thought about like first aid, and then I don't know. It just came to mind because I had to do that for the for the driving certificate. Like, I had to take this full day course. Oh yeah, I talked about it on the show. This like political argument. Yeah. That guy was crazy.
I mean, yeah. Your driving license becoming the new Brighton story in our third year of Artifacts Immigrants.
It's unbelievable, man. It's still not over. I'll just do an update here, which
the
is
saga
that,
continues.
Like, the third test I took with zero mistakes, and it's funny because when I tell friends that I passed it, their first reaction, understandably, is like, "Oh, congratulations! That's so great!" And I go like, "Don't be too proud of me." I had to take it three times, and they all go like, "Oh, three times? Really?" the vibe changes completely. But so I passed it, and then I took the certificate up to the school. And then I had to hunt them down, I want to say, for 6 days before they would give me a date for the practical. It was unbelievable, man. The organization there is so terrible. They told me, like, my instructor told me, when you pass the exam, take the confirmation sheet up to the school and book a day, and then it's going to be in the system. And then when I see that it's in the system, I'm going to try and find you an earlier date. Because of one reason or another, because he knows I've been driving for a long time. He knows it's a waste for me to wait and stuff. And I thought, that's really nice. So I took it up there to this girl, Kati, gave it to her, and she's like, congratulations, I'll put it in the system. I'm going to look for some dates. I'll send you an email tomorrow. And that was on like a Wednesday. So cut to, it's the following Friday. We're down in Oberstdorf visiting the parents-in-law, and Ify asks, hey, did you ever get this confirmation from the driving school? I said, no. And she goes, oh man, they're so lazy. You should call them right now. And I was like, good idea. I went outside, called them. I got another guy. I've learned all their names now because I've looked online so that I can personally reference them to each other. I was like, I got Rahil. And I was like, hey, Rahil, I talked to Kati and she's supposed to do this. Can you do this? And he goes, oh yeah, I see that she has like some reservations here. I'm not sure which one is yours. I'm going to call her and then I'll call you right back. And then he didn't. And then they were closed for the weekend. And on Monday, I called them. And I'm not joking when I say this. I called them 14 times. Because they either didn't answer or the line was busy. And finally, on Monday, this guy answers, and he's clearly not one of the people that normally works the desk. He's like maybe a manager. Maybe it was the Fahrschule guy himself. And because the way, like his accent, you could just tell he wasn't like the person up front because they all speak great English. And I was like, hey, here's my name. I did this. I'm waiting for, can you tell me when it is? And he's like, okay, so you're wondering when there's the practical exam, yeah. So when you want to take it. I was like, yes, can you please tell me when it is? And he goes, no, sorry, I cannot do this because it's I don't look at the dates. I don't read the dates. You know, it's for Kati, she's looking at this and she's not here today. So I was like, okay, so you can't access something that a colleague has accessed on the same computer because they have one computer. And he's like, no, sorry. I was like, okay, great. So then Tuesday, I go up there in the morning and with like a fire in my soul again for like the ninth time with this place, swung open the door. There was three people sitting in there, an instructor that I recognized and two front desk people all at the computer. And I came in there and they said, hi. And I said, hey, are your phones broken? Did you know that your phones are broken? And that really shocked them. I didn't have any mercy anymore. And they said, what are you talking about? What do you mean is the phone broken? I said, do you know that I've called you 14 times and no one answers? And then one of the girls said, oh, you know, sometimes it's just really hard when there's just one person working up here. I was like, I count three of you right now, and I just called. And then by instinct, the dude at the desk, they have two phones, and both phones rang at once, and he muted both of them and went back to the computer. I was like, I can see you doing that. So anyway, I finally like bullied my way into finding out finally when my exam is, and I really wanted them to say, you know, it's going to be some date in May, but it's going to be June 21st. Finally. So
next time, the practical part.
Dude, imagine if I fail that. No, there's no way. There's no way. It's impossible. It's impossible because of this quote from the instructor. I'll never forget this. Because if I screw this up, I'm going to push him out of the car when we're on the Autobahn. Because he was like, you know, you're such a confident driver. If I could, I would give you the keys to the van and you could drive my children around. And he like held his keys up. And I was like, okay, that shows me I don't have to be nervous about the practical. I hope. I don't know. I wasn't nervous about the theory.
Stay tuned.
I wasn't nervous either.
The but driving license with Jordan Prince Thursdays on Artsy Fartsy Immigrants.
Dude, this should have just been its own podcast at this point. I mean this rant about go ahead.
You should rethink how you structure the bits about your driving license, like working more with cliffhangers, etc.
Dude, I should. I all these rants about the driving school and then the additional solo episodes that I did when you were out kind of concluded into, I forgot the one, not the more somber sort of like serious episode I did, but the other one that was another kind of rant, like making fun of some things with German mentalities. I had so many messages from people being like, like, yo, you need to have one episode a month or something that's just these ridiculous rants. And I was thinking, I don't know if that's a good idea. It's like, if I have the platform to explode like that once a month, we're going to lose listeners like your mom. We're going to lose some listeners. My mom, you know, everybody.
We're going to lose all of them.
We're going to lose them all, except for Moritz Binder for some reason. who, congratulations to him, has his has a healthy, beautiful new little girl.
Ooh.
Her name is Rosa, and she's just a few weeks old now. I don't want to be totally wrong here. Somewhere between 2 and 4 weeks old now.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Beautiful little girl. Yeah, has we just ever, got to.
In the history of podcasts, any podcast interviewed a 3-week-old baby.
There is a podcast that's like this hipster surfer dad and his, I want to say, 2 or 3 year old daughter.
Okay, really?
Yeah, it's a little crazy because the things that she's saying are obviously hyper adorable, and you know, he's talking to her as if he's interviewing, you know, like Shaquille O'Neal. It's just like, oh, hey, how's it going? Yeah, so about the thing you did, and tell us about your league. But of course, she's just saying these, you know, like cute little kid things. But I don't know. I kind of feel a little guilty when I watch it because, I mean, I don't listen to the podcast in whole. I just see these clips on TikTok. But, you know, it's like this weird thing of, oh, that's cute. But also, that's kind of exploitative and strange.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if it's just this little kid, she doesn't even really probably know what's going on.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't do it myself, obviously, if I had kids.
No, I wouldn't want to put my kid on camera.
No.
That age, you know?
But yeah, sure.
It depends. But let's see, how did we get to doing a podcast with a little kid? Oh, you wondered if there'd ever been a podcast with like a 3-week-old.
Like if we could interview Moritz Binder's newborn daughter.
she probably wouldn't have too much to say, but she'd be very passionate about it.
Or too much.
Yeah, or maybe too much. She'd be very passionate about it. But yeah, man. So you were out really sick, and you said you felt better on your birthday. Like, did you ever get, you never did get like a clear confirmation of what happened, right? It just hits you overnight, some sickness. COVID, but it was something else, right?
Yeah, and that's a funny thing because I went to the doctor, and that's also the only kind of diagnosis I got. Like, it's not COVID,
right?
It's not COVID, but it's another infect. So
like another infection.
Infection, yeah. I still don't know 100% what it was, but it was kind of super dumb because, yeah, just like you mentioned, I woke up in the middle of the night and I had fever and I was shaking and my throat felt super bad and everything.
Yeah.
And for my bad luck, that I woke up that morning like a few hours before I would have had my first, before I would have gotten the first COVID vaccine shot. And it wasn't so easy to cancel that that date, like just a few hours before it was planned.
Yeah.
But yeah, now it was like 4 or 5 days in which I felt super bad. I haven't been that ill in a long, long time. But
and it wasn't food poisoning.
No. No.
Crazy, like, man. Like crazy.
I'm not sure. I really wonder, like, okay, how possible is it to catch anything, any sickness besides COVID these days that everyone is already wearing masks, this using hand sanitizer, etc. But yeah, shit happens.
So wild, man. That's really crazy. I'm glad it wasn't anything that kept you down for, you know, a few weeks.
No. Yeah, I feared for a second that it was COVID just because I thought, like, oh no. It wouldn't have wondered me too much because, like, we're like over a year into this and I haven't got it. And so yeah, sure, you got to deal with those things. But it was perfectly at that point, like 3 days before I had a long planned like week off, etc., and my birthday, and I was like, no, I really don't want to go into quarantine right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And luckily I didn't have to, at least not longer than those four or five days. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Man, that's so crazy when those things just hit and you have no idea why and the doctors don't know why. You just kind of hope that you don't get stuck in a hospital or something. Oh, I didn't get to ask you actually what gifts you got for your birthday. Did anyone give you anything cool?
Mm-hmm. Like, I got from my girlfriend one of these that everyone's wears, but I kind of really find them pretty practical in summer when you wear shorts and you don't have that many like pockets for your phone and everything. Mm-hmm. Like one of these, I don't know what to call them in English, but these tiny bags that both women and men would wear, like hipsters in Germany would wear them across their
fanny pack, like
older men in Italy or something would wear it underneath their belly.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Like you got a cool fanny pack.
Yeah, like that's the name, dude. How could I forget? Yeah, one of these, cool looking, and
is it like an Adidas one or something? Like you see the teenagers wearing these days.
Yeah, it's an Adidas one, a green one.
Nice. That suits you. I can see that.
And a t-shirt, and I got a, which I also, I wouldn't have expected, but I find it pretty cool, actually. Mörser, how do you call that in English? Like this, this super, super old technique of crushing herbs and spices.
Oh, like the bowl with the stone
the
handle?
The bowl,
thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's called a mortar and pestle.
Mortar and pestle, okay. Yeah, Mörser, it's Germany. It's not too far away. But not out of stone, but out of like turned wood.
Ooh,
that's
nice.
Pretty fancy and a lot of herbs and spices with it. And a book and some alcohol.
Which book?
I don't know. I need to check again. I flew over it kind of is, but I both forgot the author and the title again.
Sounds like a good book, man. Wow, good gift. Huh?
Yeah, come back for more books we haven't read recensions on Artifacts Immigrants. Yeah, I don't remember the title anymore, but go read that book.
That's a good one. Yeah, it's like when you recommend a movie, but it's that person who can never remember the plot or the actors or anything. Have you seen that film? It's got
with the one actor.
You know, he's blonde. you know, and it's good. It's so good. It's on Netflix or maybe it's Disney Plus. No, I think it's Amazon. You'll find it. It's great. It's the blonde guy, and it's kind of serious, but it has these really funny moments, and it's like, what the hell are you talking about? Oh man. Did you see? First, I wanted to ask you what the obsession is in Germany with white asparagus.
Dude, it drives me so crazy.
What is the deal? It's not even the good one. It's just the one that makes your pee stink.
Yes, but they are so obsessed with it. Like, my girlfriend would go to for the last, like, let it be 6 weeks or something, like, since the asparagus season started in the spring, my girlfriend would run about, go once a week to her parents to have dinner with them. And like 5 out of 6 times, it was white asparagus with potatoes and this sauce hollandaise, this thick white sauce.
Right.
And probably ham if you eat meat. And I don't get it. I also don't get it. I really like the green one, but to the day, I never understood why the Germans are so obsessed with that. And do you remember last year, like the big headlines on the newspapers when COVID got serious? And a lot of newspapers were writing, it's like, who's going to bring in our German asparagus this year if no one's
are
allowed
you serious?
To work together? Yeah.
Oh my God, man. That's the first thing they thought of. How are we going to get the Spargel?
Yeah, and then and a lot of boomers on the internet were like, yeah, young college students, etc., who can't go to university right now, make yourself like useful and go get that asparagus for us.
Whoa, man, that's so ridiculous, dude. Wow.
Yeah. Really no, crazy. But I can't explain it. I just can tell you that I share the wonder with you, and I don't know what it is. As I mean, it's one of the plants that grows pretty good in Germany. So right. That's probably where it comes from.
But so does grass. Do we have to eat grass just because it grows well?
Oh,
I mean, come on.
You better say those things here rather than on your EGFM show. But
oh, yeah.
You would have compared white asparagus to grass. No, but
I mean, there's plenty of dirt.
What I don't get about it is that most of, like also most of the single asparagus, like, what do you call it? Sticks.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
The most part of it, and with the green one, it's better. With the green ones, you just have to cut off, like, the, I don't know, like the first half finger at the bottom or something. Mm-hmm. But with the white ones, like until the middle of the stick, it tastes like shit. It's so bitter. Like you have to cut away so much. Or
it's so wasteful.
Or eat super bitter asparagus that makes your pee stink.
Oh, it's so gross. I wonder, like, is this a like a vegetable that... So that we're taking away from some natural animal? Is it like rabbit's favorite snack? And the Germans are like, but we must put it in our new McDonald's Spargelburger. Did you see that?
Do you know any animal that eats asparagus?
There's got to be some animals that eat asparagus.
I just looked it up, and probably we're super dumb again.
I'm going to guess something like rabbits or something like that. Some mammal. Or it's like a feast for beetles, some sort of bug that like makes eggs inside of it or something.
Okay, like when you Google like which animals eat asparagus in German.
It says the Germans.
No, it's no, it's all about dogs. Like is
dogs.
Yeah, that's my dog. Is my dog, can my dog eat asparagus, basically? That's the Germans.
Are there Germans out there feeding? Are they feeding asparagus?
Dude, Germans are
to
feeding
their dog?
Super. Germans are feeding super weird stuff to their dog. Like my grandmother, she would feed the family's dog the weirdest stuff. Like this dog would eat so much
like
bananas
what?
And cream fraiche and weird shit that
what?
Also made him stink.
I mean, I get giving a dog a little bit of human food every now and then, like, oh, I have a little bit left of this sandwich, or like, oh, there's a little bit of this, the fat on my steak here, or the bone, or, you know, whatever. But to make a meal like that, it could be bad for the dog, couldn't it? That's what I think.
No, but dude, actually, I don't think that there is an animal that naturally eats asparagus.
Oh, the Germans are like, so happy that they don't have any competition.
Because I only find, like, even looking a bit further, I only find, like service article, like, is my pet, I don't know, rabbit, cat, or dog allowed to eat asparagus when I eat it? Those are the questions that you find, but it's not like, okay, pets. which animal eats asparagus? And it's like, okay, it is, I don't know, wild, like, horses or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like, found naturally eaten by rabbits and horses in you know, Western Europe. But it's just like, Germans grow it so Germans can eat it. The Germans just need everything to be white.
The sad reality, more rather, is like that underpaid poor people from the Balkan grow it so the Germans can eat it.
That's it. Yeah, man. Did you see that they actually have the Spargel, the asparagus burger at McDonald's?
They do.
Real thing. No, Google it. It's disgusting. It's the new Spargel burger from McDonald's, and they have There's two McDonald's within a walking distance of my apartment, and both of them have these big banners open that have like the Spargel with the meat and the hollandaise, and it looks disgusting.
Dude, those are the kind of things you don't see anymore when you left social media.
Oh yeah, man. I didn't even ask.
Whoa,
It looks pretty bad, right?
Oh, it looks.
Dude, I have two expat friends, and both of their German boyfriends independently ate it. And I was like, you have to break up with them.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Get out of this country. They're going to change you. It's crazy.
I hope my girlfriend doesn't listen to this before or does find out that this burger exists.
Is she going to eat it if she does? Does she like it that much?
I think she would, but she's a vegetarian now. So I think
she would take the burger, but take the meat patty off.
Yeah.
And then just eat McDonald's asparagus. That's way worse than just normal asparagus, man. It's going to be all soggy and like it's going to be from a bag that was microwaved or something.
Dude.
That's
I don't
crazy.
Get it.
That's
yeah,
really
and
crazy.
I'm kind of glad that this like the asparagus season almost is over again, I guess. Is it? I hope.
I didn't even know that there was such a thing as like the asparagus season, because I know, and I think it's understandable more, that there's like, we're in the season of like all the fresh strawberries. You know,
yeah,
like,
it's the same
this
time.
Okay. So it's the same window. Because I heard that with like all the stores now are just like abundantly filled with like big fresh strawberries. And I was like, that's kind of nice. I like strawberries. And then you see at the same time this weird obsession with white bitter asparagus. And you're like, guys, how can the competition be like similar to that?
Yeah, and what really already as a child confused me, and today drives me crazy, because I find the original idea pretty cute. If you've never been to Germany, when there it is strawberry / asparagus season, on the countryside or in the areas around bigger cities, whatever, more like in rural areas, next to fields, on some, I don't know, parking lot or whatever, they would build up these kind of like tiny houses that look like a strawberry and sell strawberries out of it. Have you never seen one of those?
I'm trying to think if I ever saw one ever, like, since I've lived here.
It's like a person standing in a huge strawberry and selling strawberries from that region.
That's kind of adorable, though.
And that's pretty cute. But the weird thing is they also sell white asparagus out of the strawberries.
I was going to ask, do they have asparagus-shaped huts that they sell asparagus
out of? I guess they would be too tiny.
That's so gross, man.
Because,
oh, man.
Imagine the form of asparagus. Like, you would have to build a humongously huge asparagus house.
Imagine being the person who sees a strawberry-shaped strawberry stand on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And being like, oh, that's so great. We can stop and get some fresh local strawberries. And then running up there and then being in line behind the person who's like, what do you mean you're out of bitter white asparagus? And you're like, it's not what you're here for, man. That's not what you're here for.
But look at the psychology of it. Like, because Germans would see a giant strawberry next to the road and would think and say, oh, we could get asparagus there.
Gross.
Like they would see a huge strawberry and say, oh, we could get asparagus and have that great asparagus tonight.
Nah, I'm out. you guys can let me out here. I'll walk back the rest of the way.
But I always love these strawberry huts where they sell the stuff out.
Yeah, that's cute. That's cute. And I dig berries and fruits. I think that's all pretty cool. But this asparagus obsession is really, it's like an epidemic. It's really weird.
Yeah. And also, like, I only know like one meal that really, I would say, has found at least a consensus that it's a good meal with white asparagus, which is cooked white asparagus with potatoes, this thick sauce hollandaise, and probably ham. There's no other dish I know that is really good with white asparagus. Probably soup.
A soup, a lot of people make a thick soup.
A thick vegetable soup. But green asparagus on the other side, you can do it with pasta, you can grill it, you can cook it, you can do so many things with it.
It goes everywhere. It's obviously the better looking twin, you know?
Yeah.
It's obviously the better looking, like more successful brother of the white asparagus. He's like, but I have the Germans. That's my whole market. Yeah, green asparagus is so much more malleable and flexible with what you can do with it. It's crazy, dude.
I wanted to tell you, since we talk about things we cannot understand culture-wise, because I had my issues today again with the English language. And I had to laugh so hard.
Hit me.
Because this morning I watched a basketball game that took place last night, but it was in Europe. It was 3 a.m., so it was too late. So I watched it this morning. It was an important game, Boston against Washington. And for Washington, there plays one guy. I didn't know him. He came off the bench, but played a pretty good first half. And his name is Ish Smith.
I-S-H?
Yeah. Ish Smith, and the commentator or announcer would always go like, and aiming for the three, Ish Smith. And I was like, what does he mean, three Ish? He was clearly outside the like the line.
Going for the three Ish Smith.
Yeah. It drove me crazy. It's like, okay, his actual name is Ish Smith.
That's kind of interesting. I wonder, because, you know, if he would have had a last name that could maybe help sort of navigate where his nationality would be from, then you could say, like, I don't know, you could come up like with like Leibowitz or like with Botschheider or something. You could say like, oh, okay, maybe there's like some roots in this country or that country or something. But if it's Smith,
yeah,
I mean, I guess that's like from Schmid, which could be Nordic or Central European, but still, that's Ish is, I think,
like
just
any American could be named Smith. Like,
No
matter what roots, anyone could be a Smith.
Anybody could be Smith. That's way too old and standard, you know.
But I think it could also be a nice artist's name, and you could make a lot of fun of it with album titles.
What's kind of funny is if you imagine he went to school in America and he always had to do a roll call as a kid, and they always do like attendance calls, and they always do last name first. Like Smithish?
Yeah. Yeah, he is an American.
Smithish?
Smithish. Remember it at the army.
Smithish. Oh, yeah, exactly. Actually, it's just Smith, sir. What'd you say, boy? Oh my god. Ish Smith. I mean, it's a little bit of a cruel thing, unless it's like some, you know, great family name, because if you think about going from a sh to a s sound. Yeah. It's easy to get stumbled up on there, Ish Smith. Ish Smith.
Especially me being a German, I always want to say Ish Schmidt.
Yeah, Ish Schmidt. Exactly. Yeah.
In southern Germany, that's a question. Ish Schmidt, like, do you eat with us?
Ah, Ish Schmidt. Oh yeah, right. Yeah. Ish Schmidt. It's not a big deal, Ish Schmidt. No, it's not a big deal. Ish Smith. See, I thought you were going to get stumbled up on like something that the guy said about Ish Smith. But yeah, no. Just the name itself is already kind of a shocker.
And like they had all the time like three Ish Smith or foul Ish, and I was like, what foul Ish?
Foulish. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Foulish. Like, that's a, that, come on. He elbowed him in the chest. Come on. That's obviously a foul. That's a foul-ish. That's a foul on, it's a foul on Johnson-ish. No, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. Dude, I think I finally, after, I want to say, how many months? At least 18 months, I'm guessing. I have my, likely my very first concert booked.
Whoop, whoop.
And that's pretty crazy. I mean, I'm, by next Monday, the 24th, I'll be totally vaccinated. So that's already kind of a good sign. And that means June is going to be a little bit easier for doing some things with some people. But with the concert, like there's this podcast radio show, a group of guys, they have a show called Tommy und Britt. And they, I don't know why it's called Tommy und Britt, but one of the dudes behind it is called Nico, and Nico-ish. And he contacted me, I don't know, I'd say like a month and a half or 2 months ago about, like we just dropped, when we dropped Smilin' in March, he wanted to do like an interview thing and play the songs on the show. So we talked for that. And then he wrote me a few weeks ago and just said, hey, Jordan, hope you're doing well. We, like, our radio program in cooperation with, I guess, some government organization in the city of Nuremberg is going to host a live performance slash interview thing that's at an open air event for like 200 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it would all be like live on air and in person. And they asked me to do a set. And honestly, I'm kind of sitting, I'm leaning obviously more on doing it, but also part of me is like, can I even do concerts anymore? You know, dude, I barely played anything. And, you know,
dude, if you, I thought about this, if you would ask me to play a show with the band, like with the Ghost and me, like in 2 weeks, I think I would panic because I haven't,
yeah,
like my bass is within a case under my bed and I haven't held it in my hand since like, I guess, November, December. And haven't mm-hmm. played a song of yours since like December 19.
Yeah.
December 2019.
Yeah, since the last show that we did.
Dude, that's like 1.5 years ago.
It's wild to think about that. It's been such a long time. And I haven't, like, the idea of concerts hasn't even crossed my mind. Like I haven't even, it's been so long that I no longer even think about performing the same way that I used to, as like part of this, you know, job as a musician or whatever. I just stopped thinking about it. I don't know. I just, my focus obviously went elsewhere into things that I can tangibly hold in my hand now. But I'm leaning towards doing it. It's not the most amazing date, but I think it might still work just fine. It's just a really, yeah, I had a little bit of a panic when he asked. I was like, am I ready? Like, can I still do this? I would have to rehearse. Like, how much time does he want? 20 minutes? Can I still do 20 minutes? I haven't done any singing or guitar playing in so long. I mean, just a little bit here and there, you know, like one performance for a video, a little bit of singing on someone else's project, but really not doing it at all. And it's just, it started off, of course, sad and hard to do that for a lot of musicians, but then, you know, people do adjust to things. Mm-hmm. And I got more used to not doing it. So for me to get that question was like, are we really ready to do that again? Is it going to be safe? What's the situation? Is it going to be open air? Is it vaccination only? Or, you know, it's just a totally, and then, you know, it's funny, I'm having this sort of, not panic, but I'm having this sort of, you know, apprehension about doing it. And then you look at America, mm-hmm. who is currently saying, like the CDC is saying, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask anymore. which is, I think, a hyper dangerous and very early mentality, because there's bound to be people who don't want to get vaccinated who just tell you that they are and don't wear a mask around.
Yeah, but isn't that something you already have? Like, people that refuse to wear masks don't do it. Like,
yeah, but if you're vaccinated and you want to stop wearing it, you still kind of have to protect yourself from a group of people who weren't, you know?
I see, yeah. Yeah, and it makes a difference. Like, if I think about it, like in Germany, in certain places at the moment, you would still get kicked out if you don't wear a mask. Like, I don't know, on the subway or something. If there's somebody controlling you and you don't wear a mask, they'd kick you out. I mean, you in Bavaria, you have the thing where you even have to mandatory wear these FFP2 masks.
Mm-hmm.
So even next level, but yeah. But with the US, it's also talking about that. I watched a basketball game this morning. That's super crazy, because from week to week that I watch these games, like, there are more people in the arenas, and it's getting louder and louder each week. And it's like, wow, this feels so surreal and so, I don't know, far away. Like,
are coming back in the arenas already.
Yeah, yeah. Like, in the game tonight, they had like, I guess, 2,500 fans in. Like a quarter of the normal capacity of the stadium.
Well, that must have been really exciting for them.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That must have been really exciting for them. I can't even picture that anymore. Like, I'm not even the biggest sports guy in the world, but I've had thoughts, like, I've had fantasies about when sporting events are reopened, that I could see myself totally grabbing a group together and saying, hey boys, let's go watch, you know, I don't know, badminton tournament tonight. Let's hustle out there and grab a six pack and just root for something, like, just root for something again.
I'll take you to a soccer game.
I'll definitely go.
Nice.
Oh, speaking of soccer, have you watched the show Ted Lasso yet?
No.
Oh my God, man. So,
but that's on one of those weird streamers, isn't it?
It's Apple TV Plus.
Okay.
I mean, you can always come over and watch it with me, because I'm definitely going to rewatch it. It's so great. Nice. It's really unexpected what you think. So the premise, the way they advertise it and the way they pitch it and stuff, it doesn't really sound that engaging. Like, the basic premise is that an American football coach has been hired to go teach soccer in the UK for a major team. So, of course, that whole premise sounds kind of dumb. You're like, why would I watch that? That sounds silly. But then you start getting into it, and from the very first episode on, you realize, oh, this is something else. This is really special. And every single character offers something. They're all so well written. It's really funny. It's really heartwarming and, like, earnest. And it stars Jason Sudeikis from Saturday Night Live. And he's also, like, the co-creator or the co-developer of the show as well. And it has a lot of great actors in it. Like, everyone's a great actor. The characters are written very well. You understand them. They're three-dimensional. They're, you know, it's so often the case that in shows like this, you have, for example, like a tough female boss, full stop. Someone who's just like, you know, one of those mean bitch ladies who's just like, ah, get away from here, Jonathan, or whatever. And then, but in this one, they start with a lady like this, but she becomes so 3D throughout the series, where you start really understanding, you know, where she's coming from, how she may or may not want, or how she may or may not be able to change. Mm-hmm. And everyone has this arc and has this underlying drama. And of course, it's based around this season of soccer games that he gets thrown into, that he has to coach, doesn't even know the terms, doesn't even know the rules. And it's really incredible, man. It's just a really funny, good show. I just go watch Ted Lasso.
Nice. I have also one recommendation, but it's a documentary.
What is it?
It's called, like in German, the German title is Der Maulwurf. The English title is, like, basic translation, The Mole Infiltrating North Korea. And
the
it's
Mole Infiltrating North Korea.
It's honestly
okay, what is that?
One of the craziest documentaries I've ever seen. Like there's a Danish director called Mats Brugge who did a documentary about I guess it was called The Red Chapel, about North Korea in the 90s or early 2000s. And it was kind of a success, but after that, because he was shooting in North Korea, but after they wouldn't let him into the country anymore. And there is also like an unemployed Danish cook who lives off like what do you call it? Like federal help. Like he has diabetes, and so he's not, I see.
Okay. He's living off of like the unemployment assisted money.
Yeah, more like an early pension or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
He's in his 40s. He's a cook, but he has some form of aggressive diabetes and can't work anymore. So he has a lot of time. And that guy, the protagonist, sees the documentary of the director and then calls the director and says, "Hey, I've seen that documentary of yours. I'm super fascinated by North Korea. I know you can't go there anymore. I'll be your guy. I'll go there." And the director's like, "Yeah, what do you expect? How that works? I can't even pay you or anything." But this guy just starts, and he gets a small body cam. Later on, he gets a cameraman with him. And
is this a true story?
This is a true story, and they shot over 10 years.
Oh my god, man!
And it starts that this cook visits a group like of weird old socialists in Copenhagen that like consider themselves as friends of North Korea and have built an association, and starts there and gets more in quotation mark friends within the Korean Friends Association. That's what KFA, that's what they called from Europe, and like starts like that, just meets people and tells them, "Hey, I'm a great fan of North Korea. What can I do to support North Korea?"
Wow.
And after 6 years, he's sitting after 6 years, he's sitting in North Korea in an illegal, or not illegal, obviously it's not illegal, but in a hidden basement restaurant to discuss the selling of long distance rockets and laboratories for crystal meth with high militaries from North Korea. It's super crazy. It's super crazy. They also bring in a second faked character, which is an ex cocaine dealer from Copenhagen, and they bring him in as the businessman Mr. James, who wants to do business with North Korea and wants to buy weapons to hurt Israel. And obviously, he tells them complete bullshit. But it gets until a point that it's all real, where they show him plans where they want to build on an island in Uganda, in Lake Victoria. They want to build an underground fabric for the weapons he requested and crystal meth, and on top should be like a 5-star golf resort to hide it.
Oh my
and
god.
They just brought this random guy in, and he told him, "Yeah, I would be investing. Obviously he's never investing, and they have it all on camera. It's like over 10 years, it's super crazy, and they throughout the it's two parts, like the documentary, yeah. Each part's around an hour. And I watched the first one, and I thought, okay, this can't be real. And at some point, they got these huge stations in, like BBC, etc. And before it came out, they did 1 year of only fact-checking everything. And now the video material is with the United Nations, because through what you see there,
like, so much illegal stuff they have to
investigate. There's so much stuff going on that you could accuse North Korea for.
Sure.
It's super crazy. Like, this random cook from Denmark and this ex drug dealer get into North Korea, and they walk through North Korea with a professional cameraman and tell them, yeah, we're just shooting like promo clips for Facebook to propaganda clips to promote North Korea.
They just tell them that in English, I'm guessing, and it just works?
Yeah, because this guy got so much time to build up a reputation within, like, people being close with North Korean associations, etc.
Wow.
It's super, super crazy. At one time, they nearly get caught with a hidden camera. It's completely crazy. If you haven't seen that, you and everyone who listens, go watch that. It's crazy. The Mole infiltrating North Korea.
Where'd you watch it?
I watched it, like the German version in ZDF Mediathek. Okay. I'm not sure where to find. So it's a Danish production. I'm not sure where to find the English version. Probably since they're also part of it through the BBC, I guess.
I'm gonna see if I can find that online.
Yeah, and they also
it'd be
have,
great if they would just put it on Netflix or something.
That would be awesome. Could still be. I'm not sure. They also have an ex MI5 agent who interviews the two guys that they had in for the documentary in North Korea, like the cook and the fake businessman. And her job at MI5 was to do these long interviews with agents that have been undercover for a long time. And so she kind of recreates everything with them together. That's kind of crazy. And what I think is the crazy, I don't want to spoil too much, but near the end, there's because this cook from Denmark lives in a small flat, has two children and a wife, and they don't know any of it. This guy jets through the world to North Korea, Uganda, Barcelona, everywhere over 10 years, and they don't know any of it. And there's one scene at the end where the director and the cook go meet his wife to tell her what he's been hiding from her for the past 10 years. It's super intense.
Yeah, I'm hooked, man. I'm absolutely in on this. Nice, I'm absolutely in.
You're going to like this. It's like, okay, James Bond has gone next level and real.
Yeah, dude. That's it's even crazier is like how that it's real, that it's true. That's insane. Yeah, so I have to wrap it up here, but I wanted to say one that it looks pretty good that next week we'll have our next video episode available. We have of course we'll post about it if things change, but we have a great new guest lined up, a musician from Australia, living in Germany. And also for those who listen who have pre-ordered the album or in general are just excited about the new Simple Swimmer album, they should be in this week.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah, then I'll I was kind of hoping they would come in today. They still might, but they were shipped on Monday, and normally they were made in Munich, so you would hope that they would already be in. But yeah, we'll see. We should have the CDs in, and then I gotta ship a bunch of them off to the label. And then, of course, the band is going to get some. Tim will get some. So that's pretty exciting. And yeah, otherwise, just in case you have to go back and edit anything, I'll just make a note here that there were some minor technical difficulties that we had in this episode. You might not have noticed them. If you did notice them, sometimes this just happens. And in general, it probably all worked out fine in the end, but I just wanted to make a note of that. And yeah, I'm excited for next week. I'm excited that you're back in the podcasting game with me, Mr. Bat.
Yes.
And it was really good to talk with you. Cool to catch up. And thank you so much for listening, guys. We really appreciate it.
Yes. And see you next week.
See you. That's right.
Bye-bye.
Look out, baby. The Saints are coming.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prinz und Moritz Bartscheider, produziert für M94.5.